Accession number 27266, Mr. Brian Keogh, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Keogh?
I was born in Glasgow, Scotland, on the 7th of the 8th, 1926.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background?
I had two brothers, and at that time we lived very near Berlini Prison. This was always an embarrassment, but anyway, we had a canal just by back of the house, and we had lots of friends in the area, so it was rather a normal life. And I can remember the very first time I had an ice cream on a bridge near the house. So to me, life was very pleasant at that age.
What did your parents do for a living, or your father?
My father worked for Ilford Limited, the photographic people, and he travelled the whole of Scotland and out in the Hebrides, so we did not see much of him.
And was there a reasonable income he brought home?
Yes, he was happy, so he must have done. But yes, he did. He got enough to keep the family going.
And what about your education? Can you tell us a bit about your education?
Well, we had my education. I got the simpler school, I expect. My two brothers, the older brothers, were the family favourites. In a sense, they sent these two to better schools, private schools. But I went to one which was just across the road from my house, called Polishields Secondary School, if you want it like that. And but it was very close to school, and very pleasant from my point of view. We were near a shop to get cakes if we were hungry, and all our friends lived locally, so we had a marvellous friendship with all the lads at school.
And how did you do at school?
I did very good at maths. I remember when the test came out, I got 99 out of 100 for maths. But it was wartime now, and I got no more information on examinations from that point. But I have one thing I must add. The schools were closed to children because of the war.
Now, hang on, we're running ahead, because you're 13 when the war starts. So,
yes.
I mean, so it was just maths you'd really done at?
Yes, that was all.
What about the other subjects? You didn't like them, or you were no good at them, or what?
Oh, I liked them because I liked education. And we did Latin in those days. I've got a slight story on that later. But really, it was... I think education was very necessary to me. And it was a pleasure because the teachers were good.
Now, did you have any big hobbies outside of school before the war started? You know, Boy Scouts, any boys over there?
I was in the Army Cadets, the Boys Brigade, or the Life Boys, and the Army Cadets.
Now, when did you join the Army Cadets?
Oh, good Lord, it must have been at the very early days when they could do it. It must have been 43.
Right, so it's not pre-war then?
So no, it's not pre-war.
So were you in the Boys Brigade before the war started, as opposed to...?
Yes, I started, of course, with the Life Boys. The church was important, and we always had our bands to play and come out on certain days for the parents to hear us. It was really good fun, and there were disciplines, the officers in charge, and it gave us a training for military matters, in a sense. It made us...
You did do some drill with them then?
We did a lot, and all sorts of things.
Did you learn an instrument with the Boys Brigade? Or
I'm sorry about that. I would love to. I've always wanted to play, but we had a bugle band, and I didn't get a chance, and nobody was there to teach me, and I was very sad about that all my army life, I think.
Now, you were still at school when the war broke out.
So yes.
Do you remember, I mean, it's the old thing, do you remember the day war broke out, you know, at 3rd of September 1939?
Yes, indeed. It relates to practically every child in Britain. They were taken away out of the cities they were in, like London, for example. In Glasgow, we went to a place called Lark Hill, and
in Wiltshire.
That was in Lanarkshire.
Ah, different Lark Hill. Sorry, I'm thinking of the wrong Lark Hill.
Sorry.
So you were evacuated on the outbreak of war.
Yes.
And what do you remember about the evacuation procedure? How was it organised? I mean, you'd only be, what, 13 or so?
Yes. Well, what happened, we went to this place called Lark Hall in Scotland, some miles out of Glasgow, which they thought was a safe district. And I was very lucky because the postmaster in the village were friends of my family, my parents, and they put me in the home of Lady Coldtart. So therefore, I was in the rich, and food was plentiful, except the Lady Coldtart used to go out in the countryside with a rifle and shoot pigeons. And we found for dinner, for the first time in our lives, we're faced with dinners, and they're horrible, they really were horrible. So what I did was, I went back to the postmaster, got them to phone my parents and say, I want to come home. And they did, they took me back to Glasgow.
And when was that?
Oh, good Lord, that was when they were bombing Glasgow. Now, that's a difficult question to ask. You haven't got records of when they bombed Glasgow?
They will have, but you don't remember.
I don't remember the date.
About how long were you at Lark Hill?
I was at Lark Hall, not for long, because of the food problem. But I must have been there for about best part of 1 year.
So were you educated at all while you were at Lark Hall, or were you'd be just on the point of leaving school nearly?
Yes.
Nearly 13, 14.
They had a school for us, and we went to the local school for a bit of education, and they gave us some horrible sandwiches, which I thought were terrible. So I repeated my telephone call for my parents to come and rescue me, and they did, and that was the end of my schooling there.
Now, what happened when you got back to Glasgow?
Well, my parents had offered their home for education for children when the schools were closed. So there were no schools for us to be educated in, but it was all done in my home, which had its good points.
Now, tell me about that, because I've not heard much about this. How was it done? What would it be like?
The teachers came to the house. The children had to take off their shoes. But as I lived there, I got away with all these problems, as you can imagine. And we had in our home, we had a very big, quite a big house, though it was a flat type thing. And we had a huge table, very big table, and some lovely big chairs. And the teachers used to come and sit down on these posh chairs and give us our education for the subject they were doing. There was one funny instance when we had the Latin teacher came in, because my mother used to give them little extras, cakes or whatever she'd been baking sort of thing. And he would sit down in his chair, and the children would be sitting round the table in their chairs, and he suddenly would fall asleep. He couldn't take any more, the food was too much for him, so he fell sound asleep. So we got to the stage in the class that when he came into the classroom, we said nothing. We were not rude, we didn't make any noise, we were perfect children. And of course he fell asleep again. So our Latin was very poorly served at that time.
Now, how long did you carry on with this being educated in your own house?
Let me think about it. It's because I volunteered to join the army. That was the reason. I had two brothers in the forces by then. And does that work out in your system? Could I have done that?
It seems you seem to have been educated for a long time, because most people left at 14. You seem to have been educated to 18.
Yes, well, we did, because we'd all hoped to go to university at that time. But that fell through. We couldn't get our cert, whatever it was, to get in. So really, it was a non-event. The teachers left, or whatever it was. They were involved in the war too, I'm sure. So really, it came to an end when my brother had to give up the school.
And you didn't go to work before you enlisted then?
No, I didn't go to work.
Now, what about the bombing of Glasgow? Tell us a bit about the Glasgow Blitz.
Well, the Germans came up the River Clyde. That was their obvious way to come in with the bombs. And just dropped them over Glasgow willy-nilly, using the River Clyde as their target, thinking that was an important exit for shipping, etc., etc. I can't really tell you much more than that, except my father was an air raid warden in those days, and he would wait there, then come out, and once or twice he came out of his shelter too quick, and the shrapnel coming from the planes attacked his arm and gave him a very bad injury in one of his arms. But really, in a sense, that was his own fault. He shouldn't have gone out into the open like he did.
Were there any bombs in the Barlinnie area?
Oh, there were plenty in the area where I lived, because the houses in those days were like, as people will think better, as flats, where you had stairs to go up to the various floors where the flats for people lived, and a roofing on the top. And the damage would come if a shell landed on top of the roofing, then all the tiles would come down, and they did a lot of damage in people who, air raid wardens, for example, walking past and that sort of thing. So it was a nasty, dangerous thing.
Any close escapes for in your street, or, you know?
I'm thinking hard, because my interest when the bombs fell was to find out where they'd fallen, and with other boys dash down to that area to get the bits of shelling to take home. So really, it's a very difficult what you had to answer that, except I told you about the education in the school at one time, and it was a very big table. And when the bombs came, our neighbours, boys and family who wanted to, came in, and they all went under our table, which gave us some sort of hope of safety, and with big wooden windows closed, so it prevented anything coming through the windows, and we played Monopoly under the table. So that's the truth of the matter.
You didn't have a proper shelter then for your
flats? We didn't have a shelter. We had no shelters in the flats in those days.
Now, would the next thing be then, when you joined the Army Cadets, that was in April 1944, and you joined the 6th Highland Light Infantry Army Cadets.
Yes.
Where were they training, do you remember?
In the hall of our local church. The local church really covered the people and the youngsters and the families. There was quite it was Church of Scotland, but we were all very strong with the church, and we did plays and all sorts of things.
And that started in April 44?
Yes, it did.
And how long did you do that for?
Let me think. It was when I joined the army. Must have been 18 when I joined the army.
That's right.
At that age, I gave up the church doings and everything to join the army.
Now, tell me about the training with the 6th Highland Light Infantry, the Army Cadets.
Yes.
What sort of training did you get with them?
We had the normal military training to start with. That's going out in the fields, falling in the horse's manure, all the usual things at that. But we did not shoot. We did not use rifles. But we did go to one other area where they gave us rifles to fire, and that gave us a bit of training in shooting. But that was not good enough for us. We wanted to be proper soldiers, so we joined the army.
Now, hang on. Did you do some drill with them? I mean, you'd done some drill with
yes.
the Boys Brigade. How did you take to proper army drill?
Oh, I love drill. I always have loved drill.
What did you like about it?
Marching. I would march anywhere. When I see them on television, I'm really jealous. I want to be out there marching with them, even with the Americans. When they marched along, I thought it was wonderful. It was my weakness. But I'm not saying other soldiers were like that at all. I'm sure they were the other way. But anyway, I loved that.
And how many training sessions a week would there be? Was it just a once a week affair, or would you go more than that?
No, it would be 2 to 3 times a week, because of travel and getting the people to go to the centres. That was always a problem. The trams were running still.
So what happened next then? How did you come to join the army? Because your form's a bit confused about the date you join. It says General Service Corps March 44, but it says April 44, the cadets. So there's something gone a bit wrong there.
Yes. What I did was I wanted to join the army, and I thought it'd be easy doing the places I said. But in actual fact, I didn't tell my parents because I didn't want them to know, as their two sons were in the forces already, and they didn't want me to go in the forces. So I had to go into, take the tram into Glasgow to the recruiting centre, and I volunteered to join the army there.
And what month was that?
Now you're asking. I never kept a diary. I wish I had now. It was early enough because I wanted to do things at the time of there. I wanted to give up everything else. So really, if you take a place when something was happening, I would have given up at that point and gone into Glasgow because they accepted me straight away.
So it was 1944 anyway?
Yes, yeah.
Now, where were you sent? What happened then? For your training, your army training.
Yes. Oh, sorry, I've got the whole story. Belfast. I went to Palace Barracks in Belfast.
Now, who were you training with? Or was it just a general service corps?
Just people like myself who had just joined the army and wanted, and they went down to the Clydeside, down Stranraer or something. Anyway, they took us on a ship to Belfast. For
and
safety.
You weren't in a unit at this time, because you were later in the Argyll and Southern Highlands, but this isn't an Argyll and Southern Highlanders depot, is it?
No. But we'll make it clear, though, I volunteered for the Argyll and Southern Highlanders, because when I joined the army, they said, what did you want to join? And they said the Black Watts and all the usual armies. And one said, oh, there's also the Argyll and Southern Highlanders. I said, that's for me. So I was offered the choice of the place, and I volunteered for it. I didn't mean anything in those days. You were just a soldier to be trained and go into Germany.
Now, what do you remember about your training at the Palace Barracks?
Well, we arrived in Palace Barracks with no problems, and the first thing we did there, they had a piece of green land, countryside, and the person in charge says, now I want to test you all. Now you've got a ball there, there's a stick there, pretend it's a cricket ball, and you bowl at that stick, and I want to see how good you are at that. Well, I hate cricket. I've never played cricket in my life. Football was my game. So they threw this ball at this stick and did nothing good. So I threw mine in temper and hit the stick. So I was the only cricketer in the place, which was ridiculous, because we didn't play cricket after that again. It was a question of getting our training done and then getting us into Europe.
So how did this... Take me through your training. We're quite interested in training. What did they actually do?
The training was really very little, because they hadn't got the facilities. So what they did was... They took us onto a train in Lanarkshire, and we went to a training centre there where they trained us properly in army methods.
I thought this was in Belfast.
This was in Belfast, but they chucked us out of Belfast for training because they couldn't give it what we needed, sort of thing. It was a dead loss, Belfast. A Irishman was as mad as a hatter, and... The only exciting thing was we had our injections there, and we had one man and
now hang on, that's after your training, surely, isn't it?
This was done in Belfast.
Right, tell us about the injections then.
Yes, we had to have our injections before we did any further training to be protected, I suppose. And there was one man in our unit who we all hated. He was one of those so-and-sos. So we all took our injections, no problems. Because we'd been a bit used to it in Glasgow, I think. And he took his and fainted on the spot, collapsed on the spot. Oh, what a mighty cheer went up then. But that was it. It was done in Belfast because it was wartime and these things were taking place when it was possible.
Now, what do you remember of your basic training? I mean, it didn't take place at the palace, right? It was in the country.
The training was very, very thorough. One was in mortars.
Tell me about that.
The mortars were, they cut a channel, and our effort was to fire a mortar into the shell, into that channel, beyond sort of thing. And we had not officers, because they weren't daft, but other rank sergeants and people had some training. And what we did was to do what they asked us, and that was it, teaching us how to fire mortars.
How do you fire mortars? Well, was it a 2-inch or a 3-inch as well?
Yes, indeed. They were mainly, from memory, I think there were only 2 inches in those days for the risk of danger. Oh, I'll modify that in a minute, shall I? That's what we did. We were taught by the...
So how did you learn? Lines. How do you fire a mortar?
Quite simple, for far as we were concerned. You put the shell, whether it's high explosive or smoke, down the tube. Then you just turn the handle, up goes the thing, it's distance, and it blows up of whatever it was designed to do.
And how do you aim it? By just pointing the tube?
Guesswork. Pointing the tube. You were told that would go as far as there or there or there. They gave us a distance to give us an idea. Now, we weren't 100% doing it, but it did teach us how to turn the tube and all that. I was very glad of that, because I'd used mortars a lot in my life. And then, after that was done, we were taken up a hill about a fortnight later to teach. A new draft of soldiers came in, and we had to tell them how to fire the mortars, or tell them how to fire the mortars, because we were then experienced, of course. And unfortunately, these idiots just fired willy-nilly, and my pal, the Irishman, and myself, we were up at the top of the hill, and these shells came flying up into the air where we were. Very nasty it was. So there was a lot of shouting, and they were taught how to fire the shells in Belfast from equipment. Everything was done with whatever equipment was available. If it wasn't, it didn't happen.
Now, what other training? We've had the mortar training. What other training did you get while you were in Belfast? Or Lanark?
Distance walking. We were in Scotland now, and this...
Hang on.
We were.
I'm getting confused as this bit of Belfast and then Scotland.
Belfast, they came over to just over the borders of Scotland, where the next stage of training was taking place. It was on the hillside of Scotland, where it was the railway trains used to come down from Glasgow and further south, as the case may be.
And what's this place called?
Lark Hall. Not Lark Hall. What's the name of the place? Oh, curses. I could tell you. It's the main centre. The Glasgow trains came down and stopped there, and then we went to our army camp, and then the training started in the army camp, which is Lark Hall. My wife will know, because she's...
It's all right. Okay, so somewhere near Glasgow.
Glasgow, yes. The training took place with the...
And what other training took place? At the moment, all you've learned is mortar training.
Yes, that was all. We didn't shoot guns, because there were no bullets or no rifles fired at all for us in our training then. But what we did was we walked and walked, because... The hills in that area are like small mountains, like going up the Balvans. And we had to go with the equipment to take you on your routes, the equipment which you carried with you. And you could go north, south, east, or west, or whatever the requirement was.
Compass.
And we would go, we'd be given companies and told to go for X miles using that compass. So we'd all walk up the hill to the top of the hill. We're all exhausted then. Then we took the second compass measurement, which would take us back down to the main road where the lorries would take us back. Now, that was what happened in the beginning, but they started to make us go further, up one hill, down another, up one hill, down another. And it was driving us bananas, you can imagine. But they had one nice thing. As they left their headquarters, a piper came out and played the pipes to us. So that restored us, and we did the hill walks happily, having the pipes to listen to and to walk to. Well, not walk to, couldn't see him, he was much further away, but it was rather nice.
Now, any other training at near Glasgow?
I can't think we, apart from taking boats to Belfast, there was no training in Glasgow after that. We all went to centres to be trained, where groups of young officers or sergeants and things like that had their training too beforehand, and we were then trained by.
So what centre were you sent to?
When I went to Belfast first. I was slightly different. Well, our wreckers had been trained, and I said that I could benefit them with the training I had. There were a few others beside myself, and we went to this palace barracks in Belfast, Northern Ireland.
Well, back to there.
Back to there, yes.
And what happened there?
That was climbing up hills, which had a river running down it. So we got soaked every time we did that. It was a pest. But, well, you're asking me to give you a funny story. We used to do again, go out in a lorry, jump out the back, because they let down quickly, then we went for a walk, a planned walk. And this was funny. We were in two groups, on top of a hill, and the hill was soft, earth, very soft, and we walked along that road to get back to Palace Barracks. And our first chain of people went down one slope, which would take back to the main road and things. Now, I was leading the second chain, the second band of chaps, and I didn't notice the first band going down the hill. So I carried straight on. And it was like Laurel and Hardy, that's the only thing I can suggest. I was marching along there with the rest of my squad behind me walking. And then they started to shout, "Where are we going? How are we getting back? You're walking too far," all the usual business sort of thing. So I took the slope down the hill, which took me to the main road. And I could remember that where the entrance was. So I was able to walk down, get them in more or less safety, but it was it really was a long, hard.
Were you still a private, or had you been promoted?
I was only a private. I was not promoted at any time there till.
So what happened next? So any other training when you went back to Belfast, or any other stories you remember?
Let me think of stories. Well, I know the one thing I like with the milkshakes. I used to go down to Belfast and spend all my money on milkshakes, but that's rubbish. You don't want that.